Major Perkin, Reel 3. I was asking you what appointment you were given when you joined your battalion, Omdurman.
Company commander of B Company, Muslim champion.
How many men did you have in the company?
Those days, about 120. About 120.
And what about the junior officers of the company?
There weren't any. One business officer in the company. You didn't have the Indian officer in those days.
You didn't?
No. Mm. Didn't come into the officers at all.
So what was the structure? You had the company commander, who was you, the British officer.
Yes, and I had a CVC supervisor.
Yes.
Who was a second command, and three generals, each business platoon.
So it's three platoons and a company headquarters.
Yes.
Yeah. What was their armament?
Well, what I said before, it is a Lee MC, a COC rifle, a Bendon. I think you had the small mortars by then.
Would that be the 2-inch mortar or the 3-inch mortar?
The 2-inch. Yes. Yeah. The battalions had 3-inch, yes. And the company only had 2-inch mortars. Then officers, of course, the men all had rifles and bayonets. Mm. Officers had a 4-5 revolver. Mm. Wonder why the Indian Army officers had much bigger revolvers than British Army. We had 4-5s and British Army 3-8.
Mm. What was the accurate range of the 4-5 revolver?
Oh, dear. We did a little bit of robbery through the Sanders, not much. When I joined the Skinnings, I went in for the robber competition, which the colonel has run for the last 5 years. I mean, I won it. I don't know, I'm a good top tour with it all. It's so luck. We put the colonels. I never could shoot after that. But this happened on that day. I hit the target all the time. I don't know what the range is. 100 yards, most probably, yes. I never used it in earnest. Mm.
You're saying that when you arrived, a subedar had just been murdered. What happened as a result of that? What was the outcome of that incident?
Well, it was court-martial, but I don't know. The men were all sent back to India. I don't know what happened to them in the end, whether they were hanged or I don't know. Mm. But no argument about it. Everyone knew who had done it. But I was just joined with them, and I didn't much know much about anything. And the event also, it was the end campaign. I didn't want to have another after that.
So you joined your B Company. How long was it before you set off for Eritrea?
Probably a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. What had to be done to prepare for that campaign?
Well, I don't remember too much about that. I was supposed to go. I put in the tonsils. And I don't know how I went. I don't know how I got there. Entered northern areas here. Went to the coast. It was based from Mercer to Clyde.
Yes.
Which was a pretty port.
Yeah.
When I got there, there's a boat down jetty, and I said, oh, so we'll be there. Hardly port. And I was told my company men were sailing down from Sabakin, which is further, a bit below Schwarzer's Arm, says were there down to join me. I hadn't met them at this stage. Joined me there from, and their job is the four or five men in the eastern Arab Dows. They came down to see 4 days down to remember, and they sick with seaports when I arrived. Right at my surprise, when they all saw, but my battalion was somewhere else, rest of the time. And I stayed there for, to be a week or so, no more. And then the battalion went off to the wars.
What was your company doing? Was it defending the port at...
No, just getting there.
Just getting there.
Guarding the spies. Came down the with the spies.
So they're transport, effectively.
Yes.
Yeah. So you unloaded supplies at Mercer Teclai. Was there supplies for the whole battalion or for a...
My company, the best of the sound came by... I did by trucks.
Right.
And to Master Fry. And we joined part of the 7th Infantry Brigade.
So you're part of the 7th Brigade. Your company arrived feeling unwell.
Yes.
Got ashore. You said you were there for about a week. What happened after that?
Well, while we were there, the Royal Sussex, who were in our brigade, they were involved in something. I don't know what it was. I must remember I was a very junior officer. I didn't know what to do on them. They were involved in some war, Ashton nearby, and wounded, prisoners, Staten. Back came one particular officer by the name of Jack DeMandier.
Ah.
Who heard of him?
The radio man.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I remember I said the two things there. He's quite a character. Mm. He was wounded. He got an MC there, wounded. And I talked about it later, perhaps, because he was quite a character. Then we went, I was the 7th Brigade, was coming out of the north. To try to track the main division was tracking from Switzerland toward Kerin.
Yes.
And they were bearing the brunt of the main attack, the defense. And our brigade, our object was to withdraw infantry troops from the main attack towards us.
So you were a distraction attack.
And we are called on the BBC, they call us the Romantic Literal Column. I don't know why, but that's right. And we slowly went down to the north, down towards Tierney.
Was it just the 7th Brigade? Did you have any Sudanese troops attached to
you? We had Sudanese, and we had a battalion of Chads, French. Went empire.
Yes.
And also about half of the time of the Solidarity region.
What did you think of the Sudanese troops? Did you have anything to do with them or see them? What impression did you get of the Sudanese troops?
Well, they're very religious, Muslim. I met one of the who then took part of them, who had the name of the Ransom Umbasi. They were good people. I didn't see them actually in action. I don't know, I couldn't say that.
What about the Chad troops? Did you see much of them?
They were very rusty, very strong. Their discipline wasn't very good.
Wasn't very good?
Yes. And their water discipline from the university, I come to that place about myself, against myself.
Yes.
But the water system, the food system is very bad. Everyone talking about it. You don't know what they're going to do. Eat all the fruit anyway, just have the water. And a French woman said, I won't remember, they're there.
How much did you know at that time about your enemy, about the Italians? Did you have any intelligence about them?
Not really. We got two prisoners, and by the best of time, sent to Bethany, two officer prisoners. One was a tall chap, obviously very much fascist, a young fascist. The other one, the small, the old school, the camera school of the Italian, and he didn't like his job at all. He didn't like the fascist, et cetera, and the fascist didn't like him, and they didn't talk to each other at all.
Did they talk to you?
Yes, because we got the very dunk. Be there, Tuesday nights or whatever, and they gave us a book where they weren't trying to straight, and we said, that's it, you can get on the parole, make yourself home. And we drained a lot of whiskey. They're not used to whiskey, and they go away down to every night. But all I know is that those two didn't like each other at all.
Did you get anything military value out of them when they
I don't headquarters is, I don't know. From there, we got to the charm starts again. It drove out to south a bit. Then the roads petered out. And we started walking, and our transport. All our food and stuff, take it off the tops and put it on the camels.
Yes.
You heard, I'd seen the hundreds of camels.
What was the terrain like over which you
were? Very hilly and very dry.
Was this the hills in the eastern Sudan then you were going over? The Red Sea hills?
Well, this is Eritrea, which I don't remember Sudan's side of it, Eritrea was. Barren.
Yes.
I don't have any water there at all. And we had also some of the water. We were brought on camels. In those days, they didn't have dedicated 4 gallon tins. I mean, it's quite thin. And the water's kept two or three or four of these on the other side of the tower. It's all right as the Tamil didn't run the rock, which it did, and the traitors threw everything off.
Who was actually leading the camels and running them?
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know who it is. Not our men. They must have had two of these, or camel men.
They must have been locally recruited.
Yes, I don't know.
What sort of rate of march could you keep up in those conditions? How many miles a day could you expect your troops to move?
I don't know how long we did it, but normally it would be about 2 or 3 miles an hour. I tell a story against myself. I was taken my company. The plans had to go up marks along a long dry riverbed, Nella. And they were in the front. I was at the back of my company. I was in front of my company, walking along. At about 2 or 3 hours, my man's very thirsty. They've been dunked in the water, which is turned down. The water doesn't, what is not good. And we got to the town hotel, and I went to the colonel. I said, can I have some more water for my men? He was very cross and said, I've got no control over the men. My water business is bad, and I couldn't. Then he relented and let me have the water for the men. We topped up our water bottles. Meanwhile, my silverware down pan with the back. Didn't know about this. He came out. And when he got there, the colonel sent to him. I said, this is what the count is doing. Well, the truth about Dan Chan came over, made us all, excuse me, stand to attention, get our water bottles out, took the courses out, and took all the water out of the stand. And left the lead for the rest of my life. And he's a wonderful man. He made us everywhere. And everyone respected him.
What kind of background was he from, Joan Pan?
Well, he's a visitor, did he serve in the service?
So he'd served in the First World War?
Must have done, yes. Long time later, many days later, I was in India, and I had to attend the ceremony for receiving the MC. And I did the ceremony, the battalion was formed up, and that was about go forward to get the MC. So the old man, all his old clothes, came up to me, and he said, I'm down calm. He made out of it.
So you had trouble with water. Was that lesson well learned?
Yes.
Yeah. How much water were you allowed per day?
One bottle.
Does that water, for all purposes?
Yeah, water, yeah. Didn't shave or anything. I mean, it's just 30 miles. It's a tin of mongrel in the tank. It's so hot and dry.
What were the rations like when you were on that march?
I don't remember, but normally the chapatis and hard scale, talking about Indian food.
Yes.
They used to make the curry and mould it into chapatis, so the chapati integrated with curry.
Stuffed chapati.
Yes. And had to do with that.
Did you eat the Indian rations?
Oh, yes.
You did.
Now, luckily, I like it. I still do. No, no trouble there. They saw me at Christina Bell's races a week on end. I just ate their food. No complaints.
You're saying you didn't know, you're not sure how many miles a day you did or how many days you were marching into Eritrea. What was your first contact with the enemy?
Well, we gave up the drive Liverhead battalion, and the colonel said to me one day, you've got to attack that hill up there, and you and another county, Gozer, who were Hilma, really. Not quite Gurkhas, but... So this chap and I, business officer, he had been one of the Indian state forces, and a pretty easy life, and he wasn't a very fit man. And he was here, and I just was trying to cap this hill. We tarred up here. It was a long hill. Engihot. And when he got to the top, I went to see him, and his supervisor said, Sword never made it. He broke down halfway up. I never saw it again, but he's that. The crime or something, otherwise. He's packed in his mental, he's sick out of his, and he went to mental asylum, he's dead, he stayed until he died.
What was it? Was it the physical exertion?
I think so. That because in fact, we didn't meet any opposition getting up there. They all pulled up, they pulled up farther than the same hill.
So they'd run off?
Yes, they'd run off. Mm.
Do you know anything about what sort of strength they were up on there?
Not many, not many. Yeah. Because a bit later, I went on to, on the same hill towards where they were teaching, and again, I tried to do an attack with another company. This time, under a chap called Bertie Herbert. Bertie Herbert was, he got his commission during the war, stationed to Cambridge. He had the most wonderful command of the English language. I loved to hear him talking. And he and I, we go to the attack. And we stand up in the early morning, looking at all the clouds, up high. And suddenly the clouds lifted, and we ran standing out there in the open. And then the enemy saw us and started pelting us, trying to other, we took cover. But we had to do the attack that morning. So we decided when to do it, how we do it. I called myself and said that this is what I was going to do. And time calmed. And at the end of it, he said that. Now, where are you going to be? I said, I'm at the back, where somebody was the rules are, just by totally the standards. And I was nervous. He said, no, you won't, sorry, you've been pumped. He's down to the old man. That's the rest of my life. And not the unusual. It's an enormous prison in the army. So, God, it can't be.
What sort of formation were you in to make these attacks?
Open out, straight out.
This would be sort of skirmish line?
Pardon?
Skirmish line? Line abreast, extended
line? Yes, yes, well, yeah. So out. It was the hilltop there. Yeah. You couldn't, it's on the field.
Yes.
It's worked there. You get, I remember giving each platoon a line to a damp out there, because yes. You couldn't see it there, because the rocks had aimed for that thing. Really, I don't know.
So they're having to conform to the ground on their movement up. When a platoon was in the attack, would it have two sections forward and one section back, or would you have all three sections abreast?
They would have up to two sections in front and one side of the back. Same as my company, and two companies.
So you've got two platoons forward, one platoon back.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That sounds rather like the textbook version of tactics.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And when you did these two attacks, these first two attacks, did you have any artillery support or heavy weapon support?
Not at all. We were told that we'd get air support.
Air support?
Air support. Mm. And we had to put out big white arrows with these things with us. Because the planes could see where our fort positions were.
Yeah.
We were waiting to lay slow-moving aircraft. I don't do that now. Came along the three bombs and had our L report.
Did you see anything of the Italian Air Force while you were on this advance?
Yes, but didn't do us. I've never seen the Savoyards, but I don't remember them ever dotting in on the Navy.
What sort of numbers were they in, the Savoyers?
One or two here. They were sort of here. And they are fighters, the front there. Yeah. In those days was, almost the First War.
Would they be the Gloucester Gladiator?
Hmm?
Gloucester Gladiator? Biplanes?
No, small. Oh, I know. Gladiator. Biplanes, yes. Mm. I tell you, I can't remember. Mm. It's very small for you.
When you were doing your advance up the Nala, Dried River, were you in any sort of tactical formation?
I was in the army, and we never went up another thing without someone picking the heights. It's a standard procedure in the army, and I'm sure we did that there.
Yes.
You put them out and they roll left, and you go through them, and you join the back as much.
So they're rolling round.
Yes.
Yeah. But what about the main body? Were they in column of march?
They're sort of march, yes.
So you've done two attacks. You say on the second attack the enemy actually started shooting at you before.
They're starting, but not much. The enemy fished men in a charge, that's enough for them. Mm. They upturned around. I personally didn't see the end of the game. They went off to kill him.
Did you suffer any casualties in this second
attack? Yeah, one. It wasn't a busy thing at all.
What about the enemy?
I didn't see any of them. I saw them as distant running away, but no one was hurt there, so I was there.
How close did you manage to get to them before they decided to draw stumps
They pushed off about 150 yards, I think.
So your traps had got within charging distance?
Yes.
And then they decided it was time to go.
They couldn't start doing it, because it was very rough ground.
Yes.
But they could, anybody could see that Bernie Smith was not enough of them.
And they didn't like the idea of that?
Never did. After that, I don't know what happened, but the Bernard pulled out and went over the east towards the Red Sea. Mm. And there, the debate of Tef Masala.
Yes.
I wasn't there, I don't know why.
Right.
I wasn't one of them. And the Bernard was Tef and took Masala. One of our officers was badly wounded.
What happened to you then when they went off? In that direction.
I don't remember. I got there. What happened after that episode on top of the hill. I went down back, and then I went over the other side. By this time, the storm had been taken by the Royal Sussex, and two companies of our bands.
Yes.
And we moved into the Messiah. I didn't take it out, and I was posted away from my company, two brigades of quarters as a liaison officer.
So you were 7th Brigade Headquarters?
Yes.
What did 7th Brigade Headquarters consist of at that time?
Well, 46th, Punjab, a Royal Sussex up there, it was just those two, and artillery trucks, no machine guns, not much, two planes.
But what about the brigade headquarters itself?
That was the civilians, of course, we had. Mm.
So you've got the brigade commander, and how many staff officers did he have, too?
He had D2 ops.